Speak, Lord, what you would have us to speak, Lord, because, Lord, we want to speak what the Heavenly Father tells us to speak, just like Jesus did when he was on this planet. And we want to do what you want us to do, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I apply the blood, Lord, to my sister, Lord, as she takes and speaks this word, Father, Lord, that you will see clearly everything, Lord, so, Lord, we can take and learn. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. You know, how many have enjoyed the study of the blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen. I see all hands. Mm-hmm. Praise God. This study was so needful. We know it's not just, we took the blood separated and taught it separate simply because we have a bloodless gospel. People don't incorporate it in the gospel.
Enough.
If blood, I mean, they try to take it out. But it must be taught.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Mm-hmm. No remission. I don't care how you try to look at it or how you try to, well, some people hadn't taken it out to some book as drastic as others, and they have not taken it out of the Bible as drastic, but they just don't speak on it, and that's just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a way of taking it out. We know there's other components to the blood, like Ray said, the life is in the blood and the spirit. We know all that, but I wanted to teach it by itself so you could get the power. Know that the power and the value of it. Ray was talking about value, not knowing the value of things. You know, this man that had coins and didn't know the value of them. He just wanted to buy some food with it. And so happened, somebody got a hold to one of those coins. They said, this coin is worth millions. And he just wanted to buy food. He didn't know the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
When the young people learn the value of the blood of Jesus, and even when the church learned the value of the blood of Jesus, church would be different.
Yeah.
We'll do church differently. There's a lot of value. Peter said, if you just knew the value of it, how precious.
Mm-hmm.
He used that word precious to describe the precious blood of Jesus. The value, the power. All that it does. You know, we can go on and on and giving you a list of things that the blood of Jesus does. And we would have no stop, no end to it. The blood of Jesus forgives. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus heals, delivers, set free, protects, cleanses, strengthen, freedom, deliverance, grace, redemption, peace, love, victory, salvation.
Mm-hmm.
All of that when he shed his blood.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't shed it for myself, but I shed it for you.
Yeah.
Should we take the time to find out about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blood of Jesus is taught from Genesis to Revelation. In Revelation, in heaven, they talk about the blood of Jesus. They sing about it. They talk about it. We on earth, we got to join heaven. We got to talk about it. And see, I'm not saying every sermon should be that. But we must remind the people about the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Revelation said, they overcame. Who? Who did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. Who did they overcome?
Lucifer,
Satan, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
They overcame him
mm-hmm.
by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
That's right.
See, Jesus knows who you are,
mm-hmm.
but you're not an overcomer until you know who you are.
Yeah.
That's the only time you become an overcomer.
Uh-huh.
You can say whatever you want to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But when you know who you are, then their testimony, they knew who they were. The ones that overcame,
mm-hmm.
they knew the blood of Jesus, and then they just didn't know the blood. They testified of it.
Mm-hmm.
They had testimonies where they testified. They knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way you're going to become an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows who you are.
Yeah.
But you're an overcomer when you know who you are.
Yeah.
The devil knows when you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Peter, I know, and Jesus, I know. But we told those guys, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to talk. You know, he, let me tell you, you'll know and the devil will know
mm-hmm.
who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you, we want to live an overcoming life. Praise God, and we will live an overcoming life. Praise God. We enter into the presence of God through the blood. That's how we enter into the presence. The book of Ephesians said we're drawn near into his presence by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't come no other way. It was no other way. He told Mary, you know, when he was telling Mary, I must ascend to my father. Don't touch me. I'm not ready to be touched. He had to go take the blood up. He had to go take it and pour it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very important to him.
Mm-hmm.
That he took care of all that. Now, what we want to do today, we just want to review everything that we have already talked about because this is the last Sunday of the blood. Next Sunday we'll teach on the word and the name. Mm-hmm. We got to get that in there. Mm-hmm. But this is the last Sunday. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about, in the 11th chapter, Abel got his name there. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. It says, the fourth chapter, the fourth verse. By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he been dead, yet speaketh. Not only, you know, when God testified about your gift, I mean, that's Cornelius. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He told Cornelius, hey, your gift has come up into heaven as a memorial.
Mm-hmm.
God, let me tell you, don't take this lightly. Mm-hmm. You say, okay, we read about him talking about a God is speaking about some of you this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I see right there. He's testifying about you this morning. Not just these that you can read about.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is written. But we're a living epistle.
Yeah.
We're read of every man.
Yeah.
We're the living Bible. Y'all understand it? And Jesus is still testifying about y'all.
Mm-hmm.
About ministers here on earth. He's testifying about you. And his testimony about, see, Abel was dead. He couldn't give his testimony about. But his testimony was still speaking. Some of these people in the, all these people in the Bible are dead. But yet they're still speaking.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about them all yep. the time.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, the reason I brought up this verse is because many people said, well, Cain didn't really know about the blood covenant, about, you know, the blood sacrifice. But if it got written here in the 11th chapter, it says by faith. How does faith come? By hearing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Both brothers had to hear. If it wasn't written in here in the 11th chapter, then we could say, well, maybe they right, maybe he didn't, you know. But they knew about the blood
mm-hmm.
sacrifice.
Yep.
They learned that from their mom and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Cain tried to do what his parents did. They tried to put a fig leaf, dressing on them to cover up their sins and their. But Jesus said, oh no. God said, oh no, we got to shed an animal. Some people thought, well, they killed it just to clothe them. No, it wasn't just for clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was shed. The blood was shed.
Mm-hmm.
So his parents knew about the sacrifice of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Here it tells, it says, by faith he did.
Mm-hmm.
And faith comes only by what?
Hearing.
Mm-hmm. So he had to hear it. Cain, he heard it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we, I don't know if I should go there, but.
Go ahead and go there.
Okay, I will. I don't. I'm going to bring it up. Okay, when you read the, in the fourth chapter of Genesis, it says, in the first verse, it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know, I'm just going to elaborate on that a little bit. I don't really need to because I'm in the blood. I'm teaching on the blood. But I'm just going to, since I read it, I'm trying to get down to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But Eve thought, hey, I got a man child. That was a promise that a man child was going to deliver them out of what they were in. So everybody that got a man child, they got excited. Like, oh, I guess, could this be the one? Could it be the one that would bring me back into my kind of lifestyle? See, Eve's lifestyle dropped here.
That's right.
I mean, she was in the garden. I mean, she was in a garden where it was lush, beautiful, and I mean, they wasn't sweating or nothing, you know? Now, girls, come on, help me out. Y'all know y'all don't like to change lifestyle. I mean, she's like, oh, I got a male. Oh, I got a male. So, and she got very excited about it because she's thinking, could this be the promised one?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be the promised one that I got here? I got Cain, a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the promise is to take them back to that lifestyle they had before.
Yeah, that's what she was wanting to go back to.
Yeah.
And I couldn't blame her. I mean, that was a good lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't sweating, they were just speaking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They were just speaking spirit. Now, Adam got a sweat, she's sweating, and I mean, it was a very low drop of life.
Yeah.
And she was just wondering, could this be the one? You know, it said Adam knew his wife, and she again bare her brother Abel. Now, they believe, theologians believe this, that Adam and that Abel and Cain were twins. Now, the reason they believe this, now listen at me real closely. It said Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. And see, every time they had children, they would say, it's a way of saying they had sex.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got down here to Cain, it didn't say nothing about, and Adam knew Eve. It just said, and she again bare a brother Abel.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of believe that they were twins.
Yeah.
Because when she bare Seth, she said, they said, and Adam knew his wife, and they had Seth.
Right.
You know, that was just a way of them introducing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't introduce Abel that way.
Yeah.
They said again, she bare Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying I go along with the theologian, but I'm just saying that's what they think.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they were twins. But, however, Cain heard just what Abel heard. He heard about the blood sacrifice. He knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I told you, it wasn't that God just wasn't going to take vegetables, but that wouldn't have made him righteous. It says over here in the book of Hebrew that God called him righteous, that he was righteous. You know, and some people teach it that it was just Cain's attitude that ticked God off. But it was not just his attitude. He said, Cain, if you do right, I mean, what you mad about? Why don't you just do right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God just told him, why don't you just do what you're supposed to do? And you don't have to be so mad. You don't have to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And What made him even more angry, we read in Luke 11:50. Let's go back to what really made him mad again. God ticked him off again. Just a angry child. Just didn't want to go the way God wanted him to go. 11:50. It said that the blood of all prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. The reason he was telling that generation, speaking to that generation, because that generation wouldn't hear none of the prophets. They could have believed Abel. They could have believed all the prophets that went from that was murdered, from Abel to Zechariah. They could have believed one of them. And they wouldn't. That generation refused. Mm-hmm. So he said that all the blood of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be poured on this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah.
Yes, ma'am.
Which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
He sent a prophet to Cain. He called Abel a prophet. He didn't write it in Genesis, but if Jesus said he was a prophet,
he was.
A lot of things that was not written in Genesis, that Jesus came and spoke of it, made it real plain. When he came, he told them, I sent him as a prophet. See, Abel went into Cain's territory, where he was farming at, he went to him. Abel went to Cain, where he was. He left where he was and went to Cain to tell him what God had said. God sent him as a prophet. And not only was he sent him as a prophet, prophet not only tell you, sometimes they tell you something good, sometimes they tell you something that God is not pleased with your life. Not only that, but they also give you ways of fixing it. And Abel had what Cain needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible tells both of their professions what both of them did.
So all of the prophets, this is what's incredible.
That's a lot of blood.
That's a lot of blood will be on the generation that Jesus was in.
Uh-huh.
All of them say that.
Because they won't listen to none of them.
All of the prophets.
Can't you just believe one of them? I mean, just one of the prophets.
This is the reason why I believe it says in Revelation chapter 18, what you just got through saying right there, okay? It says in Revelation chapter 18, the very last verse, it says, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints. Jerusalem is that in her. Jerusalem is where all the blood of the prophets, because it's the only city that killed the prophets. Exactly what you're talking about right there.
But it's very important that we don't kill the prophets with our mouth today.
Boy, ain't that
something? Steal some prophets.
Boy, that I believe that's how Satan accuses the Father, before the Father day and night is through us. Mm-hmm. I believe that's how he does it. I believe that's how he does it. He speaks against each other through our own mouths.
And he used, you know what, some people have this saying, I believe I was the only one here or God would have died for me.
Elijah.
What did you say,
Paul? I thought you were talking about Elijah when he thought he was the only one left.
No, not Elijah. I'm just saying, some people make the statement, I believe if I was the only one on earth, Jesus would have still died for me, for just one person. And I kind of believe it more now when I see that he sent for one man, Cain.
Mm-hmm.
He was concerned about one man, Cain.
That's wild.
One person.
That's wild. Came to him personally about it.
Personally sent him not as a brother. He wasn't sent as a brother. Although Abel and Cain were brothers, he wasn't sent as a brother. He was sent as a prophet to help him. And Jesus said, prophet has came down from Abel to Zechariah, and y'all still killing him.
So what you're saying is this right here, then when Cain, when the Lord came to Cain after this right here, it was actually his brother that came to him. The Lord said to Cain, so it was actually Cain, Abel came to Cain and told him this is what God is saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Abel went to Cain. Cain right. was in his little territory doing his little work. Abel went there to Cain. And it's all of the Old Testaments are types and prototypes of Jesus coming.
Yes, ma'am.
Or Jesus dealing with man. Now that was a type and prototype of Jesus dealing with man.
Ain't that so?
Jesus came down from heaven into man's territory, earth, to tell them. So we see Cain and Abel, the brothers, when he went to him to tell him what thus said the Lord, he didn't want to hear. He was angry, he was mad. He said, I'll just kill you. I can't get to God, but I can kill you. So he thought that was all over with when he put Abel in the ground. He said, oh, this is over. I don't have nobody else to come and tell me about Jesus or to pester me. But was that true? No. Because Jesus said, the writer of Hebrews said that the Abel blood spoke from the ground.
Yeah.
But he said Jesus' blood is even greater. It's still speaking. It spoke from heaven.
Right.
Not from the ground.
That's right.
But it spoke from heaven. And it spoke greater things. See, Abel blood spoke revenge. Get me revenge, my brother, But Jesus' blood spoke salvation, forgiveness, peace, grace, truth. I mean, it spoke of better things. And I know we say, well, blood didn't speak. When you come into this blood life, it brings you into a different realm of living.
It really does, because the blood actually does speak, and that's a scientific fact.
God can hear it.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't, no. In our natural ears, our frequency don't hear it in our natural ears.
Right.
But the realm that Jesus lives in, that he invites us to live in.
The vibration of your DNA actually is the aura. You've ever been in a room and you feel somebody walk in? Okay, and somebody did walk in, what it is, they your aura around you from the DNA frequency is vibrating right now. It's unique to you and me. I don't have yours and you don't have mine. This is a scientific fact. You break that barrier, okay, and that's the reason why you can feel it. Ain't that something?
Yeah, you can kind of sense when something's going to move on.
That's the reason why is your DNA is resonating. That's how they found the Higgs boson.
But see, Jesus can hear. He got that frequency of you. He said, all that he have ears to hear, and everybody that had ears. But do you have those ears?
Spiritual ears.
Ah, that you can really hear.
Come on now.
Spiritually.
Man.
Spiritually. And that spiritually, he heard it. Now, if he spoke to a fig tree, we're talking about Jesus that spoke to a fig tree, that heard a fig tree. Him and fig tree had a conversation.
And
a fig tree had a conversation.
Never looked at it like
he
that.
He heard what the fig tree said, and he said, okay, I'm going to say something to you. You ain't going to live anymore.
And also the fig. and the fig tree is what they used to cover themselves up with.
That's true.
I believe that he was right there. Right there where they did it. That's what I think.
Nick, you're deep, man. I mean, you're really deep. But we're talking about a God that, we're talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're talking about God that trying to get us on a different realm of life. When you the blood of Jesus brings you to a different realm of
yes,
living.
Ma'am.
Okay, it's cutting off time. It's 9:20.
Is it?
Oh my God.
Just like we just started. We can teach on this for 2 or 3 hours, Miss Lady. Easy.
Thank you, Mary.
Man,
thank you
awesome.
For coming.
Close it out.
All right.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you for teaching us about the blood. We're looking forward to the next one. For the word. And,
good morning.
So, but let's just, Brother Thurston, would you press?